You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people,
you're gonna turn to next.
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people,
where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life? Running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. It is Friday, living for the weekend. And so I hope you have a good weekend plan. I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, I know you'll get it done anyway, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we appreciate you, because of your tenacity, your perseverance. Keep on keeping on and don't procrastinate. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives on timeforanawakening.com. On the page, look for podcasts, click on that, and you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there'll be programs dated and titled. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Following this program on Monday and Wednesday is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3 on Mondays and Wednesdays. Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad. Following is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And after that is Conversations, Reparations, with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, also from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. Relationships with Joy and Troy. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know what time it is. That's right. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it's not me. It's Sister POC and her program Revive on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. As I mentioned before, We Buy Black is trying to open a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. I don't remember exactly how many people. I believe it was like 14,000 people responded. 14,000. They collected $400,000, of which they stated they needed $1.2 million to make that happen. I love the idea, but who I'm talking with today, we have the better idea to make that and every other thing else happen if we come together, and that is us lifting us. So But my hat's off to We Buy Black, and I hope that they can make it happen. But maybe we need to have some conversation. They have a kiosk. If you don't want to go online to purchase the products, they have a kiosk here in Atlanta in the Greenbrier Mall right off of Georgia Highway 66 in the Greenbrier Mall. They have a kiosk there, and you can pick up the laundry detergent, the soaps, the deodorants, lotions, and all kinds of good stuff, batteries, toothbrushes, toothpaste, whatever, that are produced by us at WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org with Bomani Tahemba. He is going to Ghana next week, December 24th through January 4th, 2020. December 24th, he's leaving for Ghana. The trip is only $3,700. There might be room if you give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to see photos of previous trips, he just got back from South Africa, from Johannesburg and Cape Town. Go online to facebook.com/Bomani. You want to see video? Go online to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End here in Atlanta. And the store hours are Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7 and Sunday 1 to 3. They have furniture, clothing, artwork, books. Yes, that's right. They got books. It's a bookstore. And they got everything you need. They got the Kwanzaa kits. They got candles. I was just there. So check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Of course, they'll have Kwanzaa going on this week. I'll get that scheduled, and I'll announce that on Monday. And they have an African Holocaust Museum located in the shrine. You can check that out. And they also have a class every Saturday, an African history class of Know Thyself. Brother Olatunji, outstanding job. It's every Saturday and free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30. From 1:30 to 3:30 every Saturday. But if you cannot attend and you like that information, you can always get the multimedia library. It is now, brothers and sisters, over 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. Over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books. Brothers and sisters, you need that information. I know you do. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, located right by the kiosk of We Buy Black. Right there. If you're at We Buy Black, Medu Bookstore is right there. And they have books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff. Good gifts for the holiday, for Kwanzaa, some Zawadi. Exactly. That's what you'd be getting for Kwanzaa, for Zawadi. Books. Exactly. They're open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and on Sunday from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Greenbrier Mall. The number to call is 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, located in Lithonia, my good brother Gazimde Ajamu, having their Kwanzaa program, which, of course, I'm going to be participating in, and that's going to be... That's going to be on Ujima, the 28th. The Black Dog Cultural Center Bookstore celebrates Ujima Saturday, December 28th. I am one of the hosts, along with Brother Kazimde, and our keynote speaker will be Baba Mwalimu Barudi. There'll be dances, drumming, family hors d'oeuvres. It is going to be a beautiful day. Located at 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. They have their every Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10. The number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us lifting us. Ackerman Institute. Ackerman Institute, located here in Atlanta. The good work that Baba Barudi and Ya Barudi are doing to educate our young warriors. They're totally independent. So we're asking for you, brothers and sisters, to support us lifting us. Excuse me. To support Ackerman Institute. I'm looking at one thing, seeing another. Ackerman Institute, brothers and sisters, make your check of money order out to Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786. Atlanta, Georgia 30310. That is Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Also, too, if you want to give by PayPal or Cash App, the dollar sign, YAA, M, the letter M, Baruti, BARUTI. Sanjay Dash, Haiti, Sister Gabby, in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, is doing, in the rural area, is doing phenomenal work. I suggest to you to go online to sanjay-haiti.org and see what the sisters and brothers are doing to help themselves in the rural area, because as you know, the rural areas in a situation that Haiti has been in since the earthquake, it is devastating, and all the other things that have been happening in Haiti. So go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash A-Y-I-T-I.org, Sanjay dash Haiti. We by Black Talk Radio Network Media Fund. The Black Talk Radio Network Media Fund, they're looking to raise money. I'm very happy and proud to be on the Black Talk Radio Network. And if you go online to blacktalkradionetwork.com, you don't even have to click on anything. Just scroll down on to the right. There's the donation button. We want to strengthen Black Talk Radio. It is the number one podcast in the nation. That's right. It's the number one podcast in the nation, Black Talk Radio Network. The Inye Say Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. But let me do this right quick. I'm always forgetting because I didn't have Brother Renoco up. Brother Renoco's going to three countries next month, January 21st through February 4th, 2020. He's going to Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. The trip is only $3,800 to Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. It's a great lineup. Go to drrenoco.com. Dr. Renoco. R-O-R-U-N-O-K-O-R-U-N-O-K-O, drrenoco.com. A special treat, you're going to visit the radiocarbon dating laboratory established by the great scholar and historian, warrior scholar, Dr. Shekhanta Jop. That's an added a feature to the trip. It's going to be a great trip. And when you go on to drrenoco.com, you'll see many of the things. You'll see the whole itinerary. drrenoco.com. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. December 19th. The one who is nearest the enemy in pursuit is the real leader. Ganda Proverb. Often it is difficult to tell the real from the fake among the voices clamoring to speak for us. Those infected with Negroitis, or psychological sickness wherein Africans contract a burning desire to mimic Europeans and obliterate all that is African within them, involuntarily applaud the likes of Henry Louis Gates and Cornel West and Travis Smiley and Michael Eric Dyson as the foremost and most visible African intellectuals, never having read or thought about the implications of what these elite Negroes have said. All they need know is that they totally advocate sub-integrationist and interracialist agenda. They know that Europeans approve of them as evidence in the privilege awarded them, which is ample evidence of their leadership. However, those who have learned to rely on our intuition and the knowledge we have already acquired from the works and lectures of serious African-centered thinkers and scholars, those who truly speak for us, are easy to identify. For knowing is not a difficult task. Nonetheless, those in search of our truth, intellectual leadership, most often one of the best indicators of whether an African scholar is or is not in our corner is the degree to which she or he is under attack. That's right, brothers and sisters. If the European don't like them, I love them. Sacrifices all remain in that battle and has to struggle against Europeans and Negroes to speak our truth. Affirm, I am nearest the enemy in pursuit. Affirm, I am nearest the enemy in pursuit. December 20th. Students need to know that the reasons we're still doing square root is because of those black people that lived at least 1,000 years ago, Deborah Ma'at Moore. Chess is math, which was the ancient Nubians and Kemites' strongest suit because the universe they deciphered for us is math. Chess is a game that requires the constant calculation and recalculations of multiple numerable problems at the same time. The leap in thinking that occurs in a child when he or she is required to simultaneously consider the present and possible moves of 32 uniquely moving pieces consistently traversing a 64 square board is truly amazing to witness. Not surprisingly, it increases the skills by default. Mathematical thinking skills improve without students even trying. They don't even realize they're learning. Affirm, I embrace math. Affirm, I embrace math. December 21st. We do not believe that there is any hope for a race of people who do not believe that they look like God. Bishop Henry McNeil Turner. I love his other quote. God is black. He's got to be black. For if God is a white man, there is no hope. The cosmic sea is black. Carbon is black. Melanin is black. The richest earth is black. The color containing all other colors is black. The ink that our ancestors recorded truth with on papyrus was black. Beauty is black. The world's hardest diamonds are black. Imhotep, the world's first multi-genius, was black. Carbon, the most fundamental element in the universe, is black. Our deities are black. The Kepra beetle is black. Night, the time of spiritual meditation, is black. Petroleum, the world's most abundant and practical hydrocarbon energy source, is black. Amiga, misnamed Lucy, mother of all humanity, was black. The most regal panther and strongest ants on the planet are black. The world's first iron smelters were black. Light is most visible in black. Energy is black. The cap and collar of the chambers in the pyramids were originally black. The Kushites, Kemites, and all other ancient Africans were black. Untainted, our skin is still black. And we know that primordial waters from which the universe sprung were black. So, why can't the creator be black? For us, he is. Well, she is. I'm divinely black. Affirm, I am divinely black. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. It's been over a year since I've been reading those affirmations. And believe me, I've done a program on a couple of them because they're gems. They're outstanding. They are gems. I'm not going to talk about Kwanzaa. I'm going to get to our guest, and I may do that after the next break. But as I said, we have a guest today, and of course, I promote Us Lifting Us on this radio program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I've had Baba Akima on a few times and Brother DJ. But right now, we're going to have one of the strongest sisters that I know. Sister Nanana, are you there?
Yes, I am, Brother Oshie.
How are you?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. And I hope you are also.
I am. Thank you very much, my sister. I appreciate it. And I'm glad that you're on with me today to talk about Us Lifting Us, the economic
Thank
development
you for
cooperative.
The opportunity.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. Because, you know, I hope you heard when I talked about We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen it. It was on Facebook where they said that they're, you know, seeking donations. They had a timeline. I know the timeline has been passed. And I hope they're still trying to find ways to raise the money to put a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. It's a damn shame that we don't have a supermarket in this metro area of Atlanta. You know, over 4 million people in the metro area, over 450,000 in the city of Atlanta. See, you can see the city of Atlanta is small, but because of the metro area, that's why they say Atlanta has over 4 million people. But we don't have one supermarket. And we do have little enclaves. We got subdivisions. We have gated communities, cul-de-sacs, where there's nobody but us. Beautiful manicured lawns, and I'm quite sure they're beautiful and designs and immaculate on the inside, but yet they leave there and they go to the malls, to Europeans and shop. You know, it would be great if all those brothers and sisters, even in that subdivision, said, hey, let's put some money together and build a little small strip, build a small strip mall in our neighborhood here or in our media location so we can put some of our young people to work, but more importantly, provide some goods and services for us. You know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, I hear what you're saying, and the idea of having a supermarket, I think, is a great idea. One of the arenas that we definitely need to make inroads into and that we need to dominate and control is the whole area of providing food.
Mm-hmm.
At this particular juncture, we literally cannot feed ourselves. And any nation of people that cannot feed itself is in severe and very sad shape. That is just so basic. So it's major that we start looking at the whole area of land and agriculture, food production, transportation of food, how to distribute it and supply it in various communities. So I applaud Let's Buy Black for their plan, and I wish them much success with moving forward with it.
I do too, but I know that if Let's Buy Black said, listen, these many people have contacted us about this. I recognize we can make this happen a lot sooner and a lot better if we suggested that we all come together with us lifting us as a cooperative. And then,
exactly.
And see, because see, they just got, I believe it was 14,000, you know. It could have been 1,400, but if it was 1,400, that means a lot of people gave a lot of money, which I don't believe happened, you know, to come up with over $400,000, which they said they had, you know. And but their goal was to come up with $1.2 million, and apparently they were going to build this from the ground up, this supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
But we have urban gardening. We have farmers in this area here in Georgia, and I'm quite sure in other states as well, you know. And as you know, I know we've lost a lot of land.
We lost
a lot of brothers and sisters who are in farming because they can't get the contracts and they can't get their produce out into the larger communities. So, and then, of course, those lands were taken. But what we do have, we need to put a halt to it and develop that and develop it in a way that, just as you said, Sister Nanana, to have stores and supermarkets and businesses of our own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to feed ourselves. We have to clothe ourselves. In fact, everything we do, and that's why I love Dr. Clark. I remember one of his presentations. He said, how are my people going to live? What are my people going to do? Who's going to be doing this? Who's going to educate them? Who's going to clothe them? Who's going to, you know, provide for them? And then he said, we must provide for ourselves.
Exactly.
But we look at the European and the Asians and everybody else to do for us what we should be doing for ourselves. You know?
Well, and I judge that part of our growth, part of our development, part of our reclaiming of ourselves and truly understanding who we are and what we need to be doing, self-determination has to be at the core or at the root of all of that. And that is a, you know, like the major cornerstone for us lifting us. Self-determination and the whole concept around family-centered economics. But once we truly understand self-determination, meaning I can do for myself, I will do for myself, and I am always about the business of taking care of myself, once we really install that into our very spirit, that it becomes part of who we are and how we operate in the world, then I judge that we will start moving forward in a very swift and a very productive manner. And this is a big piece of what Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative is all about, and that it assists us to do, because Us Lifting Us provides a format, a process. It's a global business organization that is specifically designed to free us from the economic domination that we are currently under right now. And we do this by using the cooperative business model. And this particular cooperative business model is designed specifically for communities of people of Black African ancestry. So, you know, that's just in a thumbnail sketch to say that's what Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative is all about, and self-determination is central, is focal, that we must embrace that and simply stop. We have to cease and desist. Totally, period.
Yes.
From looking to anyone else and asking and expecting anyone else who does not look like us to provide us with what we need.
And see, that's the key right there. We should, you know, that's why the Kwanzaa principles are so important, that you should be incorporated into our everyday lives. As you're speaking about self-determination, now, one individual who's listening may be caught up in the European model. Yeah, I'm self-determining. I'm doing for myself. You know, I got mine. I'm in this system, and if you didn't get yours, it's your fault. But it's there for me to get, and so I got it. You know, I went to school. I took the interview. I took the test. It's all about me and mine. And to hell with you and yours. You see, that's the European model. That's the capitalistic model. The capitalistic model is a very ugly and evil and vicious model, because it says that you can and should exploit any whoever you can for your own benefit. And that
exactly.
is, you know, that's and that is very detrimental to us as African people. Number one, it pits us against each other. And that is not our way. You know.
Well, and what I would question, Brother Oshie, for those individuals who profess that position of, I got mine, you now need to get yours, I would seriously question, exactly what is it that you got? And when you really sit back and look at it, what that person has achieved and what we have been trained and positioned to achieve is simply another positioning and another form of slavery. That's all it is. We need to realize that as long as we are partaking in that capitalistic system, no matter what level of education we have, a master's degree, a doctorate degree, and we're providing time and energy, knowledge and expertise on a job, basically, that's feeding into the capitalistic system, that all we've achieved is another level or another type or form of slavery, because we are not self-determined. One of the things that Uplifting Us has done is that we have developed what we call the 10-point appeal and plan for the new Black economy. And the very first of the points on the 10-point appeal and plan is that as Black people, we take full responsibility for the economic destiny of our communities and nations. In other words, until such time that we step up and we're ready to do that, that we will not make progress. And these 10 points provide a very practical and necessary steps for the new and positive existence for us today and our future generations, so that we can take control of the economic environment. And we understand that the economic environment is tied to everything else that we want to achieve. So I just can't emphasize enough how important the whole concept of self-determination and being fully and totally responsible for self in every aspect is. And that includes the basics of food, clothing, and shelter. That includes education. That includes health care. That includes care of our elders. And all of those are areas that Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative LLC has on the drawing board for us to move forward in, and to do it in and by using the cooperative rather than the capitalistic model. If I could just say a little bit more about that, and then I'd like to,
sure, please do,
get your response. Yeah, I have found that one of the really basic pieces that most of us need to educate ourselves on, and that is the difference between capitalism and cooperative economics. Many of us don't understand that the cooperative model is a circle. It is a circle, and it provides a place and an opportunity for everyone to participate, and also a place and an opportunity for everyone to benefit. That it is based on the concept of family, and it is also based on the concept that every single person is valuable, and that there is no one individual who is more important or more valuable than another one, no matter what role you play. So just because you have the title of manager, supervisor, director, whatever, doesn't make you any more important or valuable than those who might be working in the line operation job. And so I think that's a really important thing for us to acknowledge, and that the profits and the benefits are divided amongst all of those who've made a contribution. Unlike in the capitalistic model, which is a triangle, it is the shape of a triangle. And the only way the capitalistic model progresses is that at the bottom of the triangle, all of those people who are at the bottom have to be kept there. They must be kept suppressed. They must be kept in a sequestered and in a lesser position, so that the benefits that are derived from their labor can go up to the top, and that there are only a very select few who are at the very top of the triangle. So suppression, degradation, misuse of energy, of talent, of skill, that's all part of the capitalistic model, because that is the only way it can survive, is that it has to have access and use of, or misuse of, the knowledge, the expertise, and the energy of the workers who are at the bottom. So with that said, I'm sure that you probably have some comments that you want to make around that, and so I'll be quiet for a minute and see what
no,
your
that's,
thought process
no, is. No, that's all right, Sister Nana. Well, if you get on a roll, roll on with it, girl, I'll tell you. But the reality is, you're right. I have before me the 10-point program of Us Lifting Us, ULU, the new economy, the new black economy. And when we're talking about full responsibility, that means that we should control the economy of our community. even if it's in capitalism. When I look at various other communities and those individuals within that cultural group, be it Indian from India, be it Chinese, Japanese, Korean, whoever else, they pull their monies together. I just left a community yesterday here in Atlanta near Lawrenceville Highway, an Indian community. I'd go to the hospital over that way on North Decatur. But in that area on Lawrenceville Highway, the Indians have multiple stores. They have a strip mall. Everything that they need, that community needs, is contained within that strip mall. They need furnishing, they have it. They need appliances, they have it. Clothing, jewelry. They have a sit-down restaurant. They have a takeout restaurant. They have a supermarket. Everything within that community they have. Because why and how? They pull their money together to provide those goods and services for their community. And just like I stated earlier, it's a damn shame that we don't have one supermarket within the metro Atlanta area. I'm willing, and I would, pass many places to go patronize us. But there's not even a service station. I have not come across within the metro area, and definitely not within Atlanta, that is ours. And if someone is listening and they can correct me, so rescue me if I'm wrong. If there is one, let me know. Because I would love to patronize us. Period. For everything that I would need. I wouldn't mind paying a few more dollars to do that. Because I know how important that is. I know that if others would do that to such degree, then we wouldn't probably have to pay so much. But more importantly, we could send some of our young people to school to further their education, to prepare them not to go get a job from Caucasians, but to prepare them to run the businesses that we're going to need in the future. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this whole idea can be done even in here in America. But the problem for us is we've been so indoctrinated with the idea that we too sing America. And we fall prey to the evil of America in multiple ways. And one way, of course, is the money. We've been led to believe that we can't trust one another, that we can't work with one another. All of these lies and stereotypes that are out there that become self-fulfilling because of the ignorance, unfortunately, of our people. We must embrace our very, Sister Nanana, I believe our lives and us as a people is at stake, not just here in America, but globally, if we don't embrace this kind of concept.
Exactly. And when you said the word global, you really hit the nail on the head. And Uplifting Us Economic Development Cooperative is a global business enterprise. Right now, we have members in Bermuda. We have members in Canada. We have members in Ghana, West Africa, Johannesburg, South Africa, London, Ireland. Yes, there are black people in Ireland. When you study the history of the Twa people, mm-hmm. you'll know that there are black people in Ireland. We have membership in the United Kingdom. And so, yes, we are a global nation of people, and we must learn to capitalize on that. And the whole concept around pooling of money, that is the first step in the cooperative economic process. And just to put it in very plain, simple terms, there are three basic steps. You pool the money, and that also means that you are pooling the intellectual resources of the people as well, because when you get to the second step, which is the actual creation and building of the business enterprises, those intellectual resources are definitely going to be needed and are going to be utilized. And once those businesses are designed and built, then the wheel really starts turning, and those who have pooled their money, who have made the investment, will have the opportunity for jobs within the cooperative initiative that has been started. They also receive dividends. So for ULU members, they are member owners. They actually own units or shares in the business enterprise. And at the time that the profits reach a certain level, there will be payout of dividends to those who have purchased units. Now, another piece of that is that we will make sure that there's a certain contribution that is provided for our communities, that we will be giving back in our communities. That's part of our model as well, that we will specifically pinpoint in various geographic areas where the ULU businesses are located, that we will specifically pinpoint various charitable organizations that are specific for our benefit and other organizations, and we will provide support for them because we want to ensure that we have proper care for our elders, that we have everything that our children might need, any other healthcare services that might need to be provided. So that's all part of the circle. So Us Lifting Us has a plan. It is a plan that has been proven to work because we have studied how it's been used by people in other areas, this particular type of economic model, and we have tweaked it in certain ways to make sure that it is specific to our communities. So I would invite all of us people who are descendants of those of Black African ancestry, I extend the invitation to please take a closer look at Us Lifting Us. You can go to our website, www.usliftingus.com. That's usliftingus.com. And find all of the information that you need. Us Lifting Us has been in existence for, it's going to be 7 years pretty soon. And so we have had the opportunity to open one business that we used as a model or a training ground. And we have learned a tremendous amount from the ULU Cafe that we had. And from those lessons learned, we're going to be putting those to work as we move forward to open businesses in the future. And we invite all people of Black African ancestry to join us in this initiative. We must work together. That's the only way that it's going to be accomplished, and that is to work together. And the last thing I would say is that I feel that a plus for Us Lifting Us is the emphasis on generational wealth and ensuring that we provide a way for benefits, financial profits to be passed on to future generations. And the way that we are doing that is that whenever a person purchases a unit, they have to identify who their beneficiary is with the purchase of that unit. And also, we have available beneficiary shares that can be purchased for children who are still minors, so that as they become of age, that they will already have stock in a business that is up and running and producing profits. So we truly understand that we must create generational wealth. And see, we've been trained to think, you know, all I have to do is take care of me, take care of self, and from one week to another week, collect a paycheck. And we don't think about, I also have a responsibility to provide for the future. So generational passing on of wealth is absolutely vital and a big part of what ULU has put in place.
And see,
so so thank you for just letting me ramble.
No, continue to ramble. We got you. After we take this break, you got to come back with some more. We're going to go through these 10 programs and, of course, talk about the March 2020 conference
that we're going
to have. You know, but
all right.
But before you go to that break, what you were saying becomes vitally important because in this kind of system, because you're living day to day, it is already stated that economic wealth for American African people, black people here, is going to be pretty much non-existent because we don't have a lot of wealth. You know, we got a job, we got a mortgage or a house note, we got a car note, insurance, utilities, and maybe I got my kid into school with some loans, so I have debt. So now I got to work. And so I'm not even thinking about anything outside of me and mine. I'm not thinking about pulling monies together as a collective and making it easier on everybody. As we shared responsibility. I'm not thinking about that because I'm just thinking about me and mine and to hell with you and yours. Get yours. I got mine. You really don't have yours because you're just getting by, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so what Us Lifting Us is telling us, is showing to us, and there are models. I know we always talked about the Mondragon model in Spain, which is a prime and good example because at one point before they did what we should do many, many decades ago, they were on the edge, but it decided to embrace one another, share with one another, trust one another, build with one another. Now today they employ hundreds of thousands of people and they make billions of dollars in Spain.
Yes. You make a very good point about the Mondragon cooperative. And they are probably the premier co-op that you would want to look at and use as a model. Something I think is, I'll just, you know, touch on a little bit of what you mentioned, that in the Basque area where Mondragon is headquartered, the population there is approximately 22,000 people. Half of them are employed by Mondragon. Half of the population of that community, that area, in the Basque area of Spain, is employed by Mondragon. I think that is a tremendous statement as to the potential and the success of the cooperative model and why we need to embrace it. And you're absolutely right. When they started several years ago, they started out with five people, one priest and four college students. And they had one product, which was a gas lantern. And that's how they started. And today they are really the world's most successful cooperative and a model that's looked at by many to see how to develop and how to move forward with a co-op. So yes, and Uplifting Us has studied them and has learned many things from them. And one of the things that we have learned is that they design things specifically for their particular population of people. And what that tells us is that we have already done this in Us Lifting Us, have designed a model that is specific for our population of people. So we as people who are the descendants of ancestry from Africa, Black people, that we should in fact have an economic model that specifically is designed for us and works for us. And you're absolutely right, Brother Oshie. Every other group does.
Yeah.
And so we need to embrace that and move forward with it and not be shy about it.
You know, I joined Us Lifting Us when I was still living in Milwaukee on our turtle list. When you go on our website, like our membership, we have a called what is called a turtle list, because a turtle only progresses and moves forward when its neck is out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
we call that the turtle list, because these are the brothers and sisters who put forth for membership and are working on shares. And I was in the 80s. I was in the 80s. We have almost 600 now. Have almost 600. I was in the 80s. And so, but when I came here, I was living in DeKalb County near Decatur. And I would go that way sometimes, living in an area called Tucker, and I would go that way. And so when I first saw that Indian in that neighborhood, because like I said, I go to the doctor over there. I had my knees replaced over there. And I was like, wow, just right up in here, this little 4 or 5 block radius, they got stores, they got the jewelry stores, they got everything that they need is right there for themselves. And there's not one area in Atlanta with all the brothers and sisters we have in Atlanta and the amount of money. In fact, Sister Nanana, I'm going to go to a break in a minute, but this is the widest income disparity of our people in the country, where there's a group of us who have and there's a lot of us who have not. In fact, if you traverse Atlanta sometime, you will see the number of homeless people and people on the streets who are begging. But yet we have the largest number of American Africans or Black people that have wealth. A lot of them are entertainers. You have Tyler Perry Studios here. A lot of them are athletes. And the reason why is because the East Coast and the West Coast are very expensive. They're very expensive. But here in Atlanta, in the South, they can get a plot of land, a good piece of land, maybe near a lake or on the lake, maybe cost them, and then build a home on that land. It might cost them $5-6 million. But on the West Coast and on the East Coast, that would be $15-20 million, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of people who, entertainers who are down here, who are living here because of the economic situation. And so that makes it the largest disparity of us, of us who have something, a little something, something, and for a lot of us who don't have nothing, you know.
Wow.
And yet, to me, the people who do, I wish they would say, hey, let's come together. I know T.I., the rapper T.I. was supposed to be buying some homes because gentrification is serious here. The neighborhood that I live in, I now live in the city of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And where I'm living at, even around Tyler Perry Studios, a lot of gentrification is happening in those areas. You know, where the Caucasians had left in the suburbs, but, you know, they don't want them commutes. And they want to be near downtown where all the activities are, the plays and the games and whatever, you know. So they want to move back into those cities, and they're moving us out, you know. And a lot of times we don't even have the transportation, because of the public transportation does not make it out to those areas. So it's a whole thing that is happening. And then I know it's not just happening here in Atlanta. It's happening like that all over. But the bottom line is, if we come together and begin to develop Us Lifting Us or cooperatives,
not only do we stem that tide, but we'll be able to do things for ourselves and not rely on anybody else for food and clothing and shelter and so forth and so on, you know. I tell you.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
So we're going to come back and finish up the 10 points and, of course, talk about the conference coming up in March of 2020. But right now we're going to take a break. Sister Nanana, hold on, okay? We'll be right back.
Bye.
All right, dear. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie. On Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come on, y'all, let's groove. Hey, hey, hey. Come on, let's groove. You said,
say ho, ho.
Ho, ho.
Say ho.
Ho.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Johnny Kemp, Just Got Paid, and of course the OJs, Living for the Weekend, as some of our people do. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Immediately following this program on Monday and Wednesdays, the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. In the evening, on Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds on Mondays from 6 to 8 with Brother Wahad. After that, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversation Reparation with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9. From 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., once again, it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, Time for an Awakening at 7 p.m. from 7 p.m. until, and then every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We're talking here today. Let me get this in right quick, because, you know, Kwanzaa is coming up. It'll be here next week. Is it next week Thursday or next week Friday? What day is it? Next week, Thursday, the first day of Kwanzaa, Umoja. But we have a pre-Kwanzaa event that is going to be this Sunday. It's going to be this Sunday
at the Art Exchange, 2146 Noonan Street here in East Point, Georgia, the suburb of Atlanta. Sunday from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., the Kwanzaa Expo. There'll be African dance, handcrafted goods, the Kamaru, a feast. And we're not charging any money for food. Just come, bring the family, and we're going to have a great time. There'll be an African naming ceremony. A lot of good family programming and so much more. And so that is going to be this Sunday. Brother Kenneth Zaki, outstanding job that we're doing to put this Kwanzaa Expo on and getting ready for next week to have a great Kwanzaa season here in the city of Atlanta all around. We have the Shrine of the Black Madonna, First African, many, many places that are having Kwanzaas, and I'll try my best to get that information out as best as I can, and when I get it. So once again, we're talking with Sister Nanana of Us Lifting Us. She's a board member of Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. And right now we're talking about our 10-point program to help our brothers and sisters understand clearly what benefit it would be for us as a people, and even many of us individually, if we embrace this concept of cooperative economics. Sister Nanana.
Yes.
So we can go ahead and continue on with the 10-point program. We stopped off, of course, at number one, and we kind of talked about really a little bit of all of them, but we want to go through them to make our listeners clear on what ULU is about, where it's coming from, and how they, too, can join ULU and benefit and, of course, attend the convention that's upcoming.
All right, and thank you for the opportunity. I do appreciate it. And as far as joining ULU is concerned, you can go to the website, usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com, and just click on the tab that says join membership. And once you click on that, you will see the process to go through. The membership is $50 annually. We have memberships for individuals, memberships for married couples, and we have memberships for organizations. And it's all $50 per membership. So I would really encourage everyone who is listening to take a look at the website and to join Us Lifting Us. And there's also the opportunity to become an owner, to own a unit or a share in Us Lifting Us. And that can be done in one of two ways, either by paying for the share or the investment all at once, which is $1,000 per share or per investment, or by joining our subscription program. And you'll see all of that when you click on the tab for join membership. You can do a subscription monthly, automatic withdrawals from your checking account, $25, $50, $100 a month, or you can designate an amount that you prefer, and those dollars will add up each month that payment is made until you reach the $1,000, which is the cost of a share. And at that time, you will be the owner of a share and can certainly continue to be in the subscription program or to go on and purchase another unit. So it's just that simple. Just go to usliftingus.com and check on join membership. As far as the 10-point appeal and plan is concerned, I'll try to go through these quickly and then get on to providing information about our upcoming annual members meeting and convention. We had gone through the very first of the 10-point appeal and plan, which is basic and foundational. As Black people, we take full responsibility for the economic destiny of our communities and nations. So that means that we are totally assume all responsibility for our economic survival. Number two, Black persons and Black institutions, especially the Black church, join together as members in a large-scale, cooperatively owned business enterprise to pool our resources. In other words, we are identifying that not only Black individuals, but institutions, particularly the church, should be involved in us lifting us, that there is not only a place for you, but a need to have you there. The church is the longest standing institution in our communities and has connections, deep connections with many members of our communities. Not only that, but the churches raise money every weekend and put that money into banks and institutions that do not treat us fairly. Oftentimes won't even give us a loan to if we wanted to start a business. And so we're saying, if you're part of a Black church, take a look at us lifting us and become a member and put your money and your finances somewhere where you know it's going to be beneficial. Number three, this cooperatively owned business enterprise is reflective of our unique culture and interests in the world. We have designed this co-op program specifically to help us. We have identified that the family unit is core and central to what we are doing, and also have put components in place to ensure that we pass on to future generations. So it is specific for us. The governance and legal form of the cooperative, this is number four, accommodate democratic principles. One member, one vote with elected leadership. Basically, what this means is that every single owner, every single member of Us Lifting Us gets one vote. Oftentimes in cooperatives that you are given voting privileges according to the number of shares or units that you own. Not so in Us Lifting Us. So the person that owns 100 shares gets one vote, just as the person who owns one share, because we don't want to position ourselves in such a way that someone who may purchase many, many shares can in any way control our decision making, and that it's fair to everyone. Number five, only members of the cooperative and not the public have the opportunity to secure ownership units, that is equity in the business enterprise, with the potential to amass billions of dollars for community development. We are not publicly traded anywhere. Our units are specific, our shares are specific for people in our community. Our membership is specific for people of Black African descent. And that's about the simplest way that I can put it, that this cooperative is not open to the general public, only to those in our community. Number six, the cooperative focuses on opening and operating businesses in local communities that, one, provide needed goods and services, two, create new jobs, three, stimulate additional business activity, and four, yield a fair profit. That is our basic guideline for determining what businesses we will open and that we will invest our time and our resources in. They must provide a needed good and service for our communities. They must create new jobs, stimulate additional business activity, and yield a fair profit. So that's our basic outline for determining the types of businesses that we'll be involved in. Number seven, the cooperative is driven to duplicate and expand into hundreds and eventually thousands of businesses, all owned and controlled by the collective. What we're talking about here is global enterprise. We are not bound to any particular geographic area because people of Black African heritage are all around the globe. And so we're looking at this as being global and not specific to any geographic area. Number eight, the net profits from overall cooperative success will be used to, one, reinvest, two, for the distribution of grants and endowments, and three, direct returns or dividends to the member owners of the cooperative. Here again, this gives you the basic outline of what happens to the profits, to the money that's made from the cooperative businesses. First of all, the lion's share of that money is reinvested to continue the business. Then for the distribution of grants and endowments, we give back to the community and we make sure that our young people and our elders are cared for. And three, direct returns, dividends will be paid to members and owners. Number nine, the large-scale cooperatively owned, that is group-owned business enterprise, functions as a catalyst and central element in building and sustaining the new Black economy, one that gives power to our people. The whole purpose for having this cooperative initiative is so that we can provide the foundation and be the central element in building and sustaining a new Black economy. So this is not a small venture that we're talking about. We're talking about totally exiting capitalistic type ventures and investing wholly into a cooperative economy that is specific for our community, and that the Us Lifting Us model is the engine, it is the roadmap that will be used to do this, and in doing so, we become empowered because our economy, in many, to a great extent, dictates where we stand socially, politically, as well as economically. And then the last point, Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative LLC serves as the aforementioned model. What we are putting forth is that this is the way to accomplish what we need to accomplish in terms of reviving ourselves economically, that we have the we've got the ticket. We have the model that will make sure that we are successful ongoing generationally with this economic model. And it is Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. We proclaim that this is the path that we should be following. So those are the 10 points that form the basis for Black economic empowerment. The security and the welfare of our people starts with our determination to control the economics of our communities and our nations. We must be in control. We cannot take a backseat or a subservient position. As Marcus Garvey said, Black people and Black people alone hold the key to the gateway leading to their freedom.
And I agree.
Us gives us the opportunity to step forward and to use the key.
And
so
I agree.
Thank you for the opportunity, Brother Oshi.
No, thank you, Sister Nanana, because like I said, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I constantly mention Us Lifting Us. I am a member. I am a contributing member. I already hold a share working on others. And I believe that this is the only way that we as African people here in America and even on the continent should function as a collective. It is our way. It is said that individualism is a European Caucasian desire. That's why that's why they don't even want redistribution of wealth here in this country. They rather have these multi-billionaires because they believe that they too could be like them, that somehow magically they'll win the lottery or an inheritance or a lawsuit or whatever, and they'll have that money too, you know. So they don't understand that concept. They believe individually that it is about me. But collectivism is an African or black need. It is an imperative. It is a must. If we are to survive, we must do it collectively. And that's why Kwanzaa is so important, because the underlining theme of Kwanzaa is unity. Its second principle is what we started the program off talking about, self-determination. Its fourth principle is what ULU is, cooperative economics. And the latter principles is about us having that creativity and that purpose and that faith for us to make it come about. It's incumbent upon us to do this, but yet and still we've been trained to look outside of us, and we spend more money with anybody but us, and we've been doing it for decades. Imagine if we had this mindset 20, 30 years ago, where we'd be right now. But there's no better time to start than right now. It's not hopeless, but damn it, it's getting tough. We need to start right now.
Yep, you're right about that. You are absolutely right about that, Brother Oshi. There is no putting this off. The time is now. The time is today. We are out of time. We don't have any more time. With things that are going on with global warming, and things that we see happening in the political arena, you know, let's not even talk about some of the things that we have seen happening in the era of or in the arena with Donald Trump. I think we are definitely fooling ourselves if we think, oh, well, you know, I can hold off on this. I'll wait and see. No, you don't have time to wait and see. This is the time to take action, and this is the route to do it by. And Brother Oshi, you're very correct when you identified cooperation. That is part of our nature. It's part of our DNA. We have been put in an environment where individualism has been forced and pushed up on us, but that is not who we are. We come from a culture whereby everything is we, not me. And so we have to relearn to take into consideration whatever is best for the whole is automatically best for me, because I am part of the whole and the whole is part of me. So that's something that we have lost, because we've been taught that we are individuals and that we can stand alone, and that's a complete fallacy. So before we get too much closer on the time frame, I do want to share that Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative does have an annual members meeting and convention. And so we are having our 2020 members meeting and convention. It's going to be held in March. It's going to be held the 14th and 15th of March, those exact days. On the 13th of March in the evening, we'll have what we call our meet and greet, which is a social event that precedes the conference, so that members can come together and meet and greet each other in a social environment. The location for the meeting this year is going to be the Interdenominational Theological Center, the Franklin Auditorium of the Interdenominational Theological Center, which is 700 Martin Luther King Drive, Southwest in Atlanta, Georgia.
That's on
Right.
That's on the campus of Morris Brown or the Atlanta University system, right there on the campus of that Interdenominational Center off of King Drive. And I state to everybody listening and those, as we continue to promote this, attend our meeting and become aware, more importantly, become a member of Us Lifting Us.
Exactly. We encourage you to please go online and to start your membership so that you can attend and be a part of this event and, you know, get the ball rolling with your contribution to this great economic venture. Right now, we are in the early registration stage, and that is effective until the end of January. So from now until January 31st, early registration is $60. Once early registration ends, we will start our regular registration fee, which will be effective until the end of February, and that is $75. Once we reach the end of February, we're going to be into late registration because the convention does start on March 14th. And so from the end of February through the middle of March, the registration is $85. All registration fees include the 2 days of event activities on the 14th and 15th, as well as a continental breakfast and lunch. So please do go on to our website. Please register now. We strongly encourage all attendees to please wear your ULU t-shirt to the convention. We are going to be taking a group photo. We do have t-shirts that you can buy online at the ULU store. And so we would like you very much to participate in that so that you'll be well dressed for our group photo.
That's right.
Yeah, the group photo that we're going to be taking.
That's right.
And the last thing that I'll say is the theme for this year's conference. The theme for this year is Forward Together. So the convention committee chose this particular theme because it embodies the energy and expresses the direction that is necessary for ULU to achieve its goal. ULU is definitely moving forward towards realizing the mission, which is to build, maintain, and pass to future generations the machinery of economic self-determination. The only way to achieve this goal is for all ULU member owners to actively participate, to play a role, which means together. Therefore, the theme, Forward Together, moving forward, and we must do it together. We encourage all ULU member owners to attend, not only to learn in detail what moving forward is all about, but also to step up and take the opportunity to truly participate in the spirit and the energy of together. We need member owners to volunteer to work on various committees. There's work to be done. And so we want you to contribute to the success of ULU. Contribute, please, by being present at the members' meeting and convention, and to please step up and assume a role and demonstrate responsibility by saying that you will be part of some of our committees that that need support and assistance at this time. So, you know, thank you, Brother Oshie, for giving me the opportunity to be on Time for Awakening, and thank you for all of the support of ULU that you've done in the past and that I know that you will do in the future.
Well, Sister Nanana, it is my honor and pleasure to, like I said, I joined ULU. I will continue to be a member of Us Lifting Us. I will continue to support Us Lifting Us. If there are new developments, you're always welcome to come on African Perspectives to talk about Us Lifting Us and to increase this membership. But more importantly, not just to increase the numbers of membership, but the individuals who are willing to make the financial, I ain't going to say sacrifice, because really the amount of money we're asking for is not really a sacrifice, you know. You know, because if you're only asking for $50 for membership and then $1,000 over a period of time for a share, and, you know, just like right, like now, we already have almost 600 members. What if every member not only paid their membership dues of $50, but put in that $1,000? That's five. That's $500,000 right there. And then we got more members and more members and doing the same. Then we could realize the reality of what we talk about. We could create that mall, the ULU Mall or ULU Mart that we talked about, you know, where we have a number of businesses that are owned and operated by us that'll be producing and providing goods and services for our people, you know, in a wide variety of activities, and maybe develop ULU work groups that come out and help build homes and do plumbing and electrical work and so forth. I mean, all those possibilities are there for us. And I know we have the vision, but the question remains, just like Marcus Garvey said, do we have the will? Up, you mighty people. You can accomplish what you will. Do we have the will to do it? I know that Friday is Friday the 13th. And, you know, we just had Friday the 13th last week. And, of course, this society has always made Friday the 13th something evil or something bad, because what it does is this society always tries to control the narrative, and they want to put things into everybody's mind in a way that thinks that that is not good, that is bad, and so forth. And people now believe that the number 13 is a bad number. There's no 13th floor on some hotel or office buildings. There's no 13th row in some airlines. You know, the number 13 is a bad number. And, of course, Friday the 13th, there was a television series, a movie series on it, and things that are associated with that. But in actuality, the number 13 is a good number. The people who came and took this country, the Europeans who took this country, they established 13 colonies. Why 13? Why not 12 or 10 or 15? Because they understood that the number 13 had power, because the Europeans who came here, I ain't talking about pilgrims or Puritans. I'm talking about the Caucasian men, the deists, the Masons and so forth. They have knowledge that we once possessed and now they have subverted. And so the number 13 is the number of transformation. 12 completes the cycle. 13 begins anew. How many signs in the zodiac? 12. Plus the sun, 13. How many disciples did Jesus had? 12 plus Jesus, 13. How many knights at the round table of King Arthur? 12 plus King Arthur, 13. You see where I'm going with this, right? 12 completes the cycle, 13 begins the new. And so that, to me, is saying that we have the opportunity to have something very positive happen at ULU in terms of transformation. 12 completes the cycle, 13 begins anew. And so I maintain that we need to put the number 13 into our daily lives. I'm going to be talking about this in my Kwanzaa presentations next week, using the number 13. Because what we need to do is that we already are using the Nguza Saba. We're using Ujamaa. We're using Kujichagulia and Umoja. So why don't we put those seven principles of Umoja, Unity, Kujichagulia, self-determination, Ujima, collective responsibility, Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Nia, purpose. Kumba, creativity. And Imani, faith. Put those seven, I hold that, add to the seven, the five C's. The first C, consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, who you are historically. Consciousness. And so once a person has consciousness, they have confidence. Not cockiness, not ego tripping. They have a confidence. They know who they are. They know what they're about. They know they can do great things. And because of that consciousness and that confidence, they develop courage. They know they can pass the test. They know they can get the promotion, the job. They know how good they are in terms of what they need to do. So then the fourth C is conscience, knowing what is right and wrong and doing what's right, standing on principle, standing on integrity. Now, for myself, Sister Nanana, I ain't got no money. I ain't never had no money. But what I do have is my name. And if you would go to Milwaukee or even here in the community here, I've only been here 5 years. They know Baba Oshi or Brother Oshi because I'm trying my best to be the best I can and to help our people. That's what I do, you know? And so that's that conscience. Doing what is right. Doing what is right when no one is looking. Always standing on principle and integrity. And then the fifth C. And then the fifth C is conviction. No matter what roadblock or detour is put in your path, you will overcome it because you have conviction. Yes, you went to school, but you had to leave school because of circumstances, but you came back. And you finished. That's perseverance. That's dedication. These things happen. And so now I'm saying put those seven principles of Kwanzaa, of unity, self-determination, collective responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith with the five C's of consciousness, confidence, courage, conscience, and conviction. 7 + 5 = 12 plus you is 13. That's how we can change the dynamics in our community. That's how we can embrace the principles of us lifting us on a daily basis and be very cognizant of where we spend our money, who we spend our money with, and striving to change the dynamic. I mean, it you know, Sister Nanana, it really, when I first moved here and I was seeing that community, I was bothered. I was bothered by the fact that here in Atlanta, supposedly the best place for us in this country, where all of us want to be, you know, I've even heard people call it a Mecca, you know, but yet we don't own nothing. We ain't running nothing, you know, because, you know, I'm not talking about individually because some people got a business here or there. I'm talking about something collective, such as what we offer with us lifting us. That could be dynamic, that could be huge, that could provide goods and services and employ our people. And that's what bothered me, because the Indians, I mean, you know, they were committed. I'm quite sure they put down thousands of dollars individually, families and so forth, to build what they have built over in that area of here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And I'm saying we should... And I know we could do the same thing even on a larger scale with the amount of people we have and the amount of people that have the wherewithal to do it. But once again, do we have the will to do it? Do we have the heart to do it? That's the question. We have everything we need. We really do. We have everything we need, but we don't have the mind, you know. That's the issue. Sister Nanana, any closing remarks from you, my dear?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm certainly inspired by your comments that you've just made, and you're definitely on target and on track. And what I would have to say in closing is that us lifting us is the clear choice. It is the only choice. We have been involved with capitalism for too long, and we clearly see the negative impact. Moving forward with cooperative economics, and particularly the model of cooperative economics that ULU uses, is the route that we should go. We either take control of the economics of our community or forever be at the mercy of others.
That's right. That's right.
And my choice is to take control. And so I'm encouraging everyone who is under the sound of my voice and your voice today to step up and step forward and take control of our economy, which governs so much of our life, and step away from being at the mercy of others. That is not who we are.
That's right.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Brother Oshie.
Thank you, Sister Nanana. All right, you have a joyous holiday season. Hope you enjoy your Kwanzaa. What's happening? How's Kwanzaa in Denver shaping up?
Well, it's shaping up well. We have Kwanzaa activities that are going to be taking place at three major locations.
Outstanding.
So we've got quite a bit going on for Kwanzaa, which I am very pleased about.
Outstanding.
Sure.
And to me,
right,
at each of those locations, we need to have our information there. Somebody make a presentation, because this is what Kwanzaa is about.
Well, and I can't be at all of them at the same time.
I know you can.
I do plan at, you know, going back and forth between at least two of them.
I hear you.
So I will be sharing information about ULU, that's for sure.
I hear you, my sister. I thank you so much, Sister Nanana.
All right.
Peace.
Peace and love. Bye-bye.
Brothers and sisters, I thank Sister Nanana and the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. And we'll work hard and strive hard to make that a reality. We have everything that we need. We do. We really do. The only thing that we don't have is the right mind and the spirit and the will to make it come about, because the European has a vice grip on our minds. If you understand that tool, once you set the vice grip, you can't pull it apart. But there's a knob at the end of the handle. Turning that knob is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self, giving yourself confidence in who you are and who we are as a people. You continue to turn that knob until it is loosened, then now you can open up the vice grip. And not that you challenge Caucasians. Forget that. That's a waste of time, because they suffer from cognitive dissonance. They suffer from European Caucasian, fragility. They're fragile. They suffer from hegemony. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. So forget them. Kick them to the curb. Let's work on each other. Let's begin to strive and build and work with each other. To begin to trust one another. Spend money with one another. Pull money together to build with one another. Let's make this 2020 coming in, this new decade that is coming up, the decade where we finally turn the corner and begin to work with each other. We have put so much blind faith in this country to do what's right, for these Caucasians to do what's right. We still talking about our country. They have never done and never will do. And the economic disparity is so damn wide, it would take 230 years for there would be economic parity under their system. Let's make our own system. Let's pull our monies together, create our own. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can do without, and don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day, a wonderful weekend. Hope to see you on Monday. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Thana means thank you.
Bivahodie. Bivahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we shall be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful weekend and be safe. Peace, family.